On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, informal skates are coming to an end and training camp is right around the corner. What are the training camp battles that you need to look for at each and every position? We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned, training camp is right around the corner. I'm getting the updates from Rashog, Daniel Nugent, Bowman, Tom Gazzola is currently at informal skates as well. They're sending out tweets about all the guys who are there right now. Basically, everybody is in town having some skates at the District Community Arena. So, with everybody back in town, hockey's right around the corner. Who should you be looking for in training camp? We will talk about the forward position, a couple of defensemen to take a look at, and who will be that number three goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers this year. All that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast, your team, every day. We are going to start off with the forward position and move our way backwards. And we are starting off with a guy who, as soon as he was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, a lot of people went, we should have had this guy instead. Well, ever since he was drafted by the Oilers, he has started to turn a lot of heads. In fact, he was turning heads in his first training camp as an Edmonton Oiler draft pick. Now, this guy is finishing his final year in Major Junior and making the jump to the professionals. However, will that be with the AHL, or can he sneak a spot with the Edmonton Oilers this year? That man, at 19 years of age, is Xavier Borgo. Can Xavier Borgo slip in to the Edmonton Oilers roster this year? Now, the thing about Xavier Borgo is a lot of people have mentioned, why doesn't he play a couple of games and go back? Well, he's going to be a professional this year anyways, so you can't play him for that, 7, 8, 9 game threshold of his junior hockey or his entry-level contract and then send him back and not burn a year. He's going to burn a year of his entry-level contract no matter what this year anyways, so you might as well just figure out where he fits best. Now, the Edmonton Oilers have been pretty notorious on just bringing in their rookies and playing them right away. You take a look at the Taylor Hall, basically all their top picks, from Taylor Hall to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Nail Yakupov, the list goes on. The Edmonton Oilers recently have gotten away with that. From that, I should say. Even Kyler Yamamoto was maybe one of the outliers because he really worked his way onto the Edmonton Oilers roster. Now, the interesting thing is Kyler Yamamoto was also selected 22nd overall in his draft year. And in 2021, the Edmonton Oilers selected Xavier Borgo after they traded back with the Minnesota Wild. And that was the thing. A lot of people went, you got to get Jesper Volstead. Well, the Edmonton Oilers traded back, got their guy, and it makes sense. You take a look at the statistics that this kid has pulled off, even almost from his first full year in the QMJHL. First full year in the QMJHL wasn't fantastic, but you saw the flashes for Borgo. 62 games played, 7 goals, 13 assists, 20 points. That would be almost, maybe you bump up the goal totals, but maybe similar to what you would want to see from Borgo in his first full season in the NHL if he does play this year. If he doesn't, get some seasoning in the AHL, comes into the NHL, those numbers hopefully will be raised. But then he came back after playing for Team Canada White in the under-17s, and they just clicked something for Xavier Borgo. They just got something going for Xavier Borgo. In his second full season in the QMJHL, 63 games played, 33 goals up from his 7, 38 assists up from his 13, and 71 points up from his 20, and from there it only got better. However, he did have to take a pause during the 2020-2021 season, a little bit of a tumultuous season there. 29 games played in the shortened season, 20 goals, 20 assists, 40 points, and then last season. And by the way, that 40-point season was the season that he got drafted. This past season, after he was drafted, playing his first full year after being drafted, 43 games played, 36 goals, 39 points, 75 assists, went on to the Memorial Cup, went on to win the Memorial Cup, 16 games played there, 12 goals, 10 assists, 22 points for Borgo. He is... he continued to be strong down the stretch for the Shawinigan Cataract all the way through playoffs, all the way through season for the QMJHL. And the thing about Borgo is that he does a lot of the little things right. You see, he can be flashy on the score sheet, but he also does the little things right. He goes out there, goes into corners, battles the puck loose, finds somebody who's open, and the puck is in the back of the net. Yes, the score sheet will reflect an assist on that, but it won't reflect the board battle that he was just in. The big guy that he was fending off to go and get the puck over to the next guy. How often he goes and finds that open ice for those guys who are battling. So then as soon as they win the puck battle, they have somebody to fire it off to. And the Edmonton Oilers, or in this case, the Shawinigan Cataract, have somebody to possess the puck and play with the puck and make something happen. Xavier Borgo's hockey IQ is fantastic, and it keeps getting better. Now, why do I say we should be watching him in training camp? Excuse me, spring training. I must have been a baseball player. Well, I think that there's a bottom six forward position up for grabs. After Matthias Janmark, there's a little bit of a question mark on the Edmonton Oilers fourth, and I put in quotations because I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to be running an 11-7 offense for most of the season. Or 11-7 skaters, I should say, for most of the season. And if they do that, then I could see the Edmonton Oilers going, you know what, just bring Borgo up here. Because you have guys like Derek Ryan, Greg McKegg, Devin Shore, things like that, players like that, who are good players in their own right and good players at what they do. They're not a Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They're not a top six guy. They're a bottom six guy. There's always room for guys. The Edmonton Oilers are going to have to make a move somewhere to become cap compliant, whether that's Warren Fogle, whether that's on the D, whether that's Jesse Puljujärvi. We will wait and see, but either way, there are spaces four guys to make an impression. Xavier Borgo in his final, or in his first, excuse me, training camp, he was one of the last cuts. And a lot of people were going, oh my God, is he going to make this team? He put the bug in a lot of people's ears going, this kid's half decent. The bottom six currently for the Edmonton Oilers is Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Jesse Puljujärvi, as I put it. And Matthias Janmark, then you have, well, that plethora of guys who can go in. But if you keep Borgo, and you have almost a line 3B, you have 3A with Holloway, McLeod, Puljujärvi, a 3B with Janmark, insert center here, and Xavier Borgo. How about a 3B line of Janmark, Nugent-Hopkins, and Borgo? Or Janmark, McLeod, Borgo, or Holloway, McLeod, Borgo. You can have all these combinations and have guys who can go out there and do it in your own end, Do it in the neutral zone and do it in the offensive end. Produce offensively, stop the other team, and do a lot of things right, all while developing right in front of Edmonton Oilers fans and the organization's eyes. I think Xavier Bourgault could have a very, very long training camp, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him suit up opening day for the Edmonton Oilers this year. If he has a good training camp, that is where everything will come for Xavier Bourgault, is that training camp. So keep an eye out for Xavier Bourgault coming off a fantastic season in the QMJHL and in the CHL in general. So watch out for the 22nd overall pick from 2021. Now, let's get into the defense, because there are draft picks and former top 10 NHL draft picks in this next conversation, but there's only room for one, maybe two. So who will they be? We will talk about that in just a second, but I want to talk to you about our next partner. Our next partner has a product that I use literally every day. And I started taking AG1 because I needed something that really boosted my gut health. I wanted a supplement that actually tasted good as well. And I wanted to see what all this hype about was around Athletic Greens. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging, all of the things. All of the things. I have got my parents on this, and I get texts from them all the time just going, thank you for getting us on this. We're putting our scoop in today. Did you put yours in? Plus, AG1 is also lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it is all good for you. Plus, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, all while still tasting good. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. It is cheaper than your cold brew and habit. I'm right here with it. But I should be having an AG1. Either way, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes and is trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. Right now, it is time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is head to athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. As mentioned, as I bring my notes over, we are getting into the defensemen, and there is a rather intriguing battle that is materializing before our eyes, and got thrown a little bit of a caveat early on last week. Well, actually in the middle of last week, when the Edmonton Oilers signed Ryan Murray. Now, Ryan Murray brings something very interesting to the Edmonton Oilers, an experience, a Stanley Cup, another one to the Edmonton Oilers back end, something that when the Edmonton Oilers lost Duncan Keith, they also lost all those Stanley Cups he won. So thanks, Ryan Murray, for bringing that in. But that also means that battle for the seventh defenseman is not as up for grabs as it once was. The Oilers' defense is probably going to look like Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, Evan Bouchard, Philip Broberg, and Tyson Barrie, and as well Ryan Murray. But not all those players are going to be playing all 82 games all the time. Injuries are going to happen. Scratches are going to happen. Life is going to happen. There are going to be things that are going to force the Edmonton Oilers to bring somebody new into the lineup. So who's going to be the first that they call? Who's going to be sticking around the team? Who's going to be making a difference on that back line? Well, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 players here that I have talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks, just mostly in my defense that we shouldn't be adding guys like Jacob Chychrun to the Edmonton Oilers defensive core and focusing more on top end talent. But don't worry about that. That's not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is about those training camp battles, and four guys are battling for one, maybe two positions on the back end. Those four guys include Markus Niemelainen, Slater Koekkoek, Vincent Desharnais, and Dmitry Samarukov. They all bring something different to the table, so maybe that's what the Edmonton Oilers will look for. But here's what you should be looking for from those four players, starting off with Markus Niemelainen. Now, Markus Niemelainen became familiar with a lot of Edmonton Oilers fans last season as he played 20 games with the Edmonton Oilers in the big club in the NHL. His first 20 games as an NHLer, no goals, one assist, 1 point, and that is okay because that's not who he is. In those 20 games, 82 hits for Markus Niemelainen. He had over 10 hits in one game for sure, possibly more than one game. That is making your presence known. At the end of the season, despite only playing 20 games, 7th on the team in hits. 7th with 82 games, or with 82 hits in 20 games. Imagine if he played 50. That would be disgusting. The Edmonton Oilers have a guy who is difficult to play against. He's a big lad. He is heavy. He can skate. He can also move the puck if need be, but he is a nuisance to play against. Now, also in 34 games played last year in Bakersfield, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points, was also looked upon or looked as one of those top four guys for Bakersfield when he was down there. His wife did have a kid down in Bakersfield, so that did kind of keep him down there at times on paternity leave. Did have an injury at the end of the season, so it was a little bit of a tough end or maybe a tumultuous season for Niemelainen. So next year will be interesting for him and a main year for him to get comfortable. But how and where will that be relies on how he plays in training camp. So watch out for Nemo in training camp. See how he does early and watch if he's performing any better than these other guys. The next guy I'm going to mention has been in the NHL since I believe 2013, or that was when he was drafted. You take a look at that draft class. Actually, I believe, you know what? It was the 2012 draft class. You know who else was taken in that year? Let's see. Neil Yakupov. Ryan Murray was second overall. Cody Ceci, I believe, was also in that draft, if I'm not mistaken. Oh no, that might have been 08. That shows how old I am. But Slater Koekkoek went 10th overall in his draft. Shocking, I know, to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, Koekkoek came to the Edmonton Oilers not this past season, but the season before, and had an interesting season. Only 18 games played that year before he broke his clavicle against the Calgary Flames. That's a tough injury to come back from, especially for a defenseman with size, and a defenseman that doesn't necessarily engage with physicality, but you're not going to drop your shoulder as often as you would have, because now you know what that feels like. He came back last year. I was surprised to note that he actually played in 19 games for the Edmonton Oilers last season before being sent down to Bakersfield, suffering an injury down there. Only played 2 games for Bakersfield last year, but sounds like the rumor is Slater Cuckoo might be coming back this year for the Oilers and might play a role, and that's all I'm going to put for the Edmonton Oilers this year. 19 games played, as mentioned last year, no goals, 4 assists, 4 points in total. Also, interestingly enough, in those 19 games, 16 penalty minutes. So, little bit of a discipline issue for him there, but I have always liked Cuckoo. I think he is very solid in his own end, very solid in the neutral zone, and very solid in the offensive end, which is fantastic. A full two-way defenseman. He can skate. He can move the puck. I'm very interested to see how he comes back this year. I think he will be a little bit more of a staple, kind of up and down, if the Edmonton Oilers do need him, almost like a faux taxi squad guy, if you know what I'm saying here. I don't think that he will really push. I mean, everybody on this list is younger than him, so it's going to be tough for him to try and push these guys out. But either way, that could also go in his favor, is the veteran status of Slater Cuckoo. So watch out for Cuckoo. Again, a veteran. See how much he's talking. See how much he's really engaging in plays. And watch him in preseason as well. See what he does there. The next name is an interesting one because this name spent his entire summer in Edmonton this year, only a short commute to the facilities that he needed over at Rogers Place, the District Community Arena. So he said that he stayed in Edmonton, tried to make himself kind of more comfortable with the city, mentioned how Edmonton had a fantastic summer. If you are in Edmonton or have been in Edmonton this summer, you know how hot it has been and how warm it's been, how pretty it's been for this summer. And that is nice for people who get drafted by the Edmonton Oilers or go to the Edmonton Oilers and everyone goes, oh, that place is a frozen tundra. That place sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Edmonton is a fantastic city. And Dmitry Samarukov got to experience Edmonton in its summer, in its finest this past summer. And he has mentioned just how important that is. Now, Dmitry Samarukov has been a guy in the Edmonton Oilers organization for a while. I believe he was drafted in 2017, so almost 5 years now for Samarukov. But every year, basically since his final year in Major Junior, everyone's like, oh, this is the year Samarukov comes up. This is Samarukov's year. This is the one. This Samarukov's going to come up this year. It hasn't really happened. He played one game for the Edmonton Oilers this year, got 2 minutes and 28 seconds of time on ice, which is surprisingly enough is more than Dylan Holloway. So Dylan Holloway, good for you. Not the least amount of minutes played by an Edmonton Oiler this year. It does belong to Dmitry Samarukov. However, that doesn't mean he had a poor season, because in Bakersfield this year, 51 games played, 3 goals, 15 assists, 18 points, career highs in the pros and basically all of them. Really started to understand playing, not necessarily the North American game, because he has been playing the North American game for a while in the OHL. He came to the OHL basically right away, but he's starting to understand what it takes to be a pro. And that's why staying in Edmonton was so important for him. If he's going to be a pro, he's going to be living in Edmonton. He's going to be living near the arena. He has to figure out the amenities around him, how he's going to live. I think Samarukov's starting to get his stride at Edmonton. It'll be interesting to see if he does stay with the big club. The other interesting thing will be to watch as well is Dmitry Samarukov is waiver eligible. So if the Edmonton Oilers were to throw him down or to send him down to Bakersfield, it would have to come by clearing waivers. So the Edmonton Oilers have been talking about moving Samarukov for a little bit, or at least that's been the rumors for a little bit. Did the Edmonton Oilers move him just to avoid something like that, get something in return, because Samarukov is a very good player? The Edmonton Oilers keep him up here. What do the Edmonton Oilers do? So not only watch the stuff on the ice for Dmitry Samarukov, but watch out for his name off the ice as well. See what the Edmonton Oilers do with him here. Now, I'm saving the final one for last here because I'm very interested to see this guy. He is 6'7", 230 pounds, and every single time you hear about this lad, you hear something better every single time. Played his way into Bakersfield, had some time down in Wichita in the ECHL, but played his way back up, played his way into becoming a solid defenseman, and a solid defenseman not only in the general's eyes, the general public's eyes, but in the eyes of Dave Manson and Jay Woodcroft. Vincent Desharnais has been very vocal over how much he has been comfortable with dealing with Dave Manson and how communicative the team of those two have been. Now, the interesting thing is about this 6'7", 230-pound giant is that he comes out in Edmonton Oilers website interview. They have a fantastic piece on the Oilers website on Vincent Desharnais right now. If you haven't checked it out already, go do that. But in that piece, he goes, I want them to know I am on the ice. I want to be a nuisance. I mean, if you're 6'7" and 230 pounds, I'd hope they know when you're on the ice. And that's the mindset that he has. He says in that interview, you know what? Even if things are not going right, all I know is I'm going to work my bag off. And that is the mindset for Vincent Desharnais. He's going to go out there and sit there and go, this guy can't work harder than me. This guy can't work harder than me. I work harder than that guy. And he's going to go out there and prove it. At least that's the idea. That is what I want you to watch out for Vincent Desharnais. Go watch how hard it is to go play against a 6'7", 230-pound giant who can skate. Whose main ability, who wants to focus on the penalty kill and shutting down the other team's best players. His words, not mine. He has the mindset and is ready and potentially the ability to play in the NHL. I'm going to be 100% honest with you, and I'm going to kind of throw away my unbiased hat here. And no, I'm just kidding. I'll be honest here. I think Vincent Desharnais could be a secret weapon for the Edmonton Oilers this year. I have mentioned how concerned I am about the Edmonton Oilers' shorthanded unit and the defenseman that will be playing on the shorthanded unit. Well, you have a guy right here who goes, put me out there against their best players, put me out there on the shorthanded unit penalty kill, and let me show you and those other teams that they're not scoring on us. That we're going to be hard to play against. They're going to have to earn every single inch of the ice that they're going to get. That is what Vincent Desharnais gives the Edmonton Oilers. And that is what I want you to watch out for Vincent Desharnais and the Edmonton Oilers defense. Because there's some battles there that are quite exciting. Now, they also prevent goals, but let's move into the main proprietors of defending goals and stopping goals, and that is within the crease, in the goalie central, the goaltenders. Now, we both know that Stuart Skinner and Jack Campbell are going to be the two goaltenders with the big club, but who will be the third goalie? We will talk about that in just a second, but first, I want to thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, where Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute NHL podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date with everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Now, as I bring my notes over, as I did the little John Cena, you can't see me. The Edmonton Oilers have an interesting crease situation. As mentioned, a lot of people were going, you gotta sign, or you gotta draft Volstead, you gotta draft Volstead, you gotta this, you gotta that, you gotta everything in between. However, what's going to happen when one of those goaltenders goes down? Because it's more than likely to happen. Maybe somebody has a kid, maybe this or that or the other thing happens, somebody gets sick. Jack Campbell has I don't want to say a history of injuries, but has had injuries in the past. We saw what happened with Toronto last year with, oh, who's going to play in next game? Who's going to play next game? And everyone going, wow, we have a shambles goaltending situation. So, if that does happen in Edmonton, who will be the one that the Edmonton Oilers call up? Well, the first name that a lot of people do mention is the Edmonton Oilers signing of the summer, goaltender Calvin Pickard. Now, Calvin Pickard has played for, all right, let's get your lists out. The Detroit Red Wings, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Arizona Coyotes, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Colorado Avalanche, Lake Monsters, the San Antonio Rampage, the Toronto Marlies, the Tucson Roadrunners, and the Grand Rapids Griffins, all since being drafted by the Colorado Avalanche back in the day. I believe this was actually a 2008 draft pick. But Calvin Pickard has been a journeyman. He has seen a whole bunch of different situations and has consistently been the guy that teams call and go, oh, we need the extra guy. We need the extra body. And you can kind of see why. Last year in Detroit, not a fantastic year, but it wasn't a fantastic year for anybody, really. He got into three games in Detroit last year, one win, one loss, one no decision. An 875 goals against, or save percentage, excuse me. That would be an awful goals against. But an 875 save percentage and a 430 goals against average at the NHL level. Yeah. Card's getting older. I know he's kind of the career backup or career third stringer, basically a career AHLer. And you can see why he's a career AHLer as well. Because in the AHL last year in Grand Rapids, 43 games played, he had a record of 21-16-6, but had a 9.18 save percentage and a 2.38 goal, or 2.58, excuse me, goals against average. Pretty solid. I'm not here to make decisions right now, obviously. Calvin Pickard has the experience over this next guy. He knows how to play in the NHL. But at some point, you got to just be like, maybe I'm a career AHL, or maybe, you know. But again, this is in case of an injury. This isn't really anything massive. But I don't think Calvin Pickard will really be too impressive. I think the guy that you should be watching out for that could steal Calvin Pickard's spot, because Calvin Pickard right now is kind of etched in as that number three guy, but it's his job to lose. The guy to beat it out of him is Ryan Fanti, the college free agent the Edmonton Oilers signed after the Frozen Four last year, after his team lost to Carter Savoy's team, who actually eventually went on to win the Frozen Four in the national championship. It was actually Carter Savoy who scored the game-winning goal on potentially the goalie of the year in college hockey. Ryan Fanti, in 37 games played last year with the University of Minnesota Duluth, 20 wins, 12 losses, 4 in overtime, 9.29 save percentage, and a 1.83 goals against average in his final year in the pros. He did play a game, after signing with Bakersfield. He allowed 5 goals in that game, but hey, came out with a win. First game in the AHL, not really going to go, oh no, this guy isn't very good. Why I mention Ryan Fanti is because if you have watched a little bit of him over the last couple of years, heard about him the last couple of months, been all relatively positive. If you saw him at the rookie camp at the Billy Morris Cup, he was the best player on both teams. Stole the show at the Billy Morris Cup. Can he continue that into rookie camp, into training camp, and steal that third spot? I think it's a very real possibility. So the good thing is you'll get a lot of Ryan Fanti to watch. He was one of the first goaltenders in town for the informal skates for those guys coming into town to skate around there. He will get time in the rookie camp and will get time in training camp as well. A lot of time to watch Ryan Fanti a name to watch for the Oilers as well. Because the Edmonton Oilers crease is something to watch out for. A lot of people love to comment on it. So here's your chance to either prove your bias or, you know what, change it as well. So that is the three, or those are the three real battles, or some of the battles that I want you to watch out for as training camp and the informal skates and the rookie camp continues on. I will give you updates on that. Speaking of updates, actually, I got an update here from Daniel Nugent Bowman on the Edmonton Oilers defenseman situation. Cody Ceci and Ryan Murray are not there today. To these eyes, yes. There's no Cody Ceci or Ryan Murray on the ice at informal skates today. The defensive pairings right now are Darnell Nurse and Evan Bouchard. Brett Kulak and Sam Marukov have been trading spots on the second pairing next to Cody or Tyson Barrie. So it's been a split between Kulak and Sam Marukov next to Tyson Barrie. And then Niemelainen and Broberg. In fact, Broberg, this one coming from Ryan Rashog, had a beautiful spin, spinorama, fed a player, and actually led to a goal in the in warm-ups today or in the informal skate. A lot of news coming out from the back end of the Edmonton Oilers this year. Very interesting lines here. Also to note, Philip Broberg has been playing predominantly as the right defenseman today. So maybe something to take a look at for the training camp. Speaking of training camp, coming out today, the Edmonton Oilers will have a fan day on September 24th. They'll have an open practice. There's going to be a locker room sale. Hunter's going to be there. Whole bunch of stuff for the family to do. September 24th at Rogers Place in that Rogers community area, really, just outside of the Ice District, or basically the Ice District there. That is when hockey is coming back, baby. That is when the Edmonton Oilers are finally back. We're basically down the stretch of the final moments of the offseason. So watch out for those final tinkering of the rosters coming up here. Obviously, Evan Rodriguez signing with the Colorado Avalanche today. 1 year, $2 million, which was kind of a punch to the gut because I wanted him on the Oilers, but that's okay. Either way, a lot to still come up in the weeks to come. I hope you have a wonderful day today. I wish the sun was shining, but that's okay. That means the next time it is out, we will take advantage of it then. Either way, have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And play La Bamba, baby.